and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are continuing with our Sunday school theme for the year of 2023. And this week, I'm very excited for y'all to hear the story that we're going to be going through. Y'all, we're going to be talking about a woman in the Bible. There is not too many stories that are fully about a woman, especially not books named after a woman. So maybe you already are kind of scheming about which book or what story we're going to be talking about. But I'm very excited for this week's topic and for the guest speaker this week. So we have Ms. Kaylin Hunt, and she is a 25-year-old, and she really loves encouraging people. Fun fact about her, she's a vegetarian and she values nutritional meals, and she's a bookworm. She loves to fill her mind with healthy content. She's currently a grad student, in the process of receiving her master's in public health. And she has a blog called Veggies for the Brain that aims towards helping people become more healthy in every single area of their life. She loves to create social media content that is biblical but practical. And if you follow her, you'll see that she does Wisdom of the Days every day. Awesome way to, for you to just start the day off and be in the right space mentally. Her mission is to advocate, serve, and teach people the importance of a healthy lifestyle. And she's a believer, a woman of God. And so I'm very excited to hear what she brings to the table for this conversation as we talk about Esther saving the Jews. So I'm excited for today's podcast. Kaylin, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on your platform. And I'm so excited for this conversation. And I'm excited for the people who are tuning in. I believe that God is going to speak to you through this podcast.
Yes, for sure. I'm very excited about it. So I'm just going to just let y'all know that Esther, she's, like I said, one of the only books in the Bible that is named after a woman. And and so with that, we really can like pay attention to this because I know that there's so much that we can learn from this story. And so there's quite a few chapters. This is a very interesting book because technically the word God is never mentioned throughout the book, but you can see his hand and his sovereignty so much throughout the whole story. And it's really cool to just kind of just see how it comes to life. And what we're going to be seeing is how these things can be applicable to us today. So Kaylin, I'm going to turn it over to you. You can give the people a summary about the story, kind of fill them in on what happens in this book.
Okay, are y'all excited to hear about the modern version of Esther from a KJV version? Basically, Esther is a young woman. She is living with Mordecai. She did not have any parents, and so Mordecai took her under his wing. Was that her uncle, I believe?
Yeah, her uncle.
It was her uncle. And basically, Mordecai was like, you know, the queen has basically got banished out of the kingdom because of her disobedience and not showing up to a party that her husband wanted her to be in. And so what happens is the king sends out a decree that he is looking for a new queen. So he gathers all the virgins in all the provinces that he oversees and basically has them come to the kingdom and go through all these different treatments. And they're each going to have their time to approach the king and basically present themselves. Y'all, it'd be like a modern day pageant.
No, literally a beauty pageant. A whole beauty pageant.
Literally. So can you just imagine how some of these girls probably was looking side eye? Okay, who is she? Who's she? Oh, she from Persia? Oh, she from Ethiopia? You know. Right. So you had all these women who gathered there, but Esther, she was very, very unique. She caught the eye of one of the king's men. I think he was referencing the Bible as a eunuch. His name was Haggai, and she was very favored by him, which gave her direct access to the king through him. And basically, he allowed her to have extra maids, get extra treatments, and she really took heed to not only Mordecai's wisdom, but also the wisdom of Haggai. And when she presented herself to the king, when it came time for her turn, the king was so impressed that she became queen. And to make this story even shorter, basically she ends up becoming queen. Her people, there's like an attack sent out against them through somebody who is working in the kingdom, who is working against the king and all her people. And so basically God used Esther to stop that demonic decree that was over her people. And it changed the game. It changed everything. That's the story of Esther, the short story. But y'all got to go read it. It's really good. And it's just really heavy. Y'all got to go read it. It's really good.
Yeah, let's see. There are...
I think it's only like 10 chapters.
Yeah, there's 10 chapters. So it's a quick read, a day or two. If you want to sit down, you can read it all in one setting. And Caitlin did a very good job of summarizing it. And so it's juicy. Like, there's a lot in here. Like,
the Bible is juicy.
No, seriously. The Bible, like, don't sleep on the Bible. It's not boring. There's people cutting off people's heads left and right. And there's a hot mess. Yeah, and so... this story could honestly be a movie. Like, there's just so much in there that just, it's like a soap opera, just like as you're reading it. And Esther, she's a Jew. People don't know that she's a Jew while she's in the kingdom, while she's serving as a queen. But because of how God positioned her and the favor that he had on her, which you can see all through this scripture, we can see how God used her to save the Jews and to save them from, you know, the attack from them, because they were trying to wipe all the Jews out, all of them. And God used Esther to save them. And so it's really cool to see how God had his hands on his people, the Jews, but also just how he was so sovereign throughout the whole situation, of how he just knew where she needed to be. And then one of the very popular verses in Esther is Esther 4:14. You've probably seen it on a cute journal or a notebook or a bag or something. And they may have shortened it down to "for such a time as this." But I wanted to read the full thing.
Okay.
This is when Mordecai was talking to Esther and basically letting her know, like, hey, you need to come and save your people. And he said, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And so it's just a really cool way of showing us how God works. And that's something that we can really see here, is Mordecai was basically letting Esther know, like, hey, don't you realize, like, maybe God has you here to be the one to save the Jews and to stand up. And he was encouraging her because she was going to have to make some tough decisions and basically try to approach the king without permission to, or without her being called by him. So this was very out of the usual, not the customary thing to do. But God had so much favor on her life, and we can see that show up through this story. And so, Kaylin, you chose this story as one that you wanted to talk about on the podcast. So why this story? What sticks out to you? How can you relate to this story?
I chose this story because not only do I think it applies to me, but I think it applies to the women who are going to watch this podcast, whether you're a man that's going to watch this podcast, or even if you are part of the church watching this podcast. And the reason why I say that is I believe we are in such a critical time where obedience is so critical right now. And God is looking for people to use to move through the kingdom in secular arenas and in religious arenas. And so this story really stuck out to me because I think it really depicts like the process that God takes us through of, you know, submitting ourselves first, which we've seen that through Esther, submitting to Mordecai, the reason why she got into the palace, because she was submitted to Mordecai. And we even see that too when it comes to the church, God's church, like being submitted and how God has shifted a lot of things. You've seen a lot of mantles be transferred and like pass and people passing, and then this new generation taking up, just like they're taking up the forefront of the revival that is occurring right now. So I chose that story because I think it's very critical for right now, not only for our development, but how necessary we are needed. During this time.
I love that. And there's kind of like an urgency to what you're saying, right? Because God knows why he's assigning certain people to do certain things at certain times. And he knows he sees the full picture, right? Like, he has like the bird's eye view. He can see all the pieces. We just see kind of like a 1D view of things, but he's seeing all the different things and why he has you at this church with this person in this ministry, or why he has you at this vocation in this marketplace. He knows exactly why. He knows who's going to come into the coffee shop that day. And maybe you're the barista that can share the gospel. Like, whatever it is, I love that you're talking about just the urgency and the necessity for us to be in that specific place. And I think that's why it's important for us as we're, walking as believers to, yes, it's normal to have questions and doubts, but to not put too many questions into it, because then you can just like rationalize and reason your way out of what God has for you. And in Esther's point of view, like, you know, she was kind of looking at Mordecai, like, you know, like, I would have to go to the king and talk to the king, but he hasn't called me. So that's like out of tradition. And like, I can get killed for this. Like, this can go downhill. But he was like, just do it. Like, what are you going to do? Like, not save the Jews? Like, that was basically what he was saying. And he was like, and the cool thing about Mordecai is he had enough faith in God to believe that God would still save the Jews somehow. But he said, but you and your father's house, y'all are going to be destroyed for you not being obedient. And that's a whole thing. Disobedience will mess you up.
Oh, another word. Oh my goodness.
Disobedience is not the move. Don't do it. I guarantee you don't want to do that. But it's like, what would have happened if Esther had not, you know? Yes, God could have raised someone else up, or he could have just done a whole myriad of things. But we can see it in our own lives too. If we mirror ourselves like Esther, what will happen in our lives if we are not being obedient to what God has asked us to do? If we're not showing up at the right place at the right time, we may not know that the whole population needs to be saved. We just know God told us to go and do it, you know, and sometimes that's all you know. But I love just that part of, for such a time as this, God knows exactly why he's calling his people to do certain things at certain times. And we just have to trust that his timing is perfect.
Talk about it. And I love that you made that point, because that's something I wrote down when I was studying the story again. You can read this story so many times and get revelation. That's what I love about the living word of God. Esther was in place in time to stop the decree over the Jews, alignment. And I wanted to talk about the power of alignment and favor. When you are in alignment with things, with God, and whatever that is, whether you're called, I'm not saying everybody is supposed to, you know, be a preacher or have a mic. Like, God has gifted all of us with different things. If you are called to the marketplace, you know, walk in obedience, because there's favor. And like she said, you might not know how, God, who, when, how is this all going to align? It's just taking one step at a time. You're probably not going to know most of the journey, because honestly, if we knew it, we probably would be disobedient, because we'd be like, God, you don't really want to do that with my life. That's too big. That's too major. Why me?
Yeah.
I believe God strategically does it that way, because it keeps us in a space of where we're constantly hungry. If I don't know what's going on, that means I constantly have to seek. And if I constantly am seeking, I'm in alignment. And if I'm in alignment, I meet favor.
That is so, I'm about to run, but I'm going to sit, I'm going to behave myself. That's so good. How you walked it back, and not just saying, hey, if you're in alignment, you have favor. But let's backtrack a couple steps. How do you even get to the place of being in alignment? And I think something else that I kind of was thinking about was just like the submission that comes with that, right? In order to align yourself with God, you have to first submit yourself under his mission, under his will, believing that what he has is best. And the reason why some of us are out of alignment with God is because either we don't believe what God's word says, we don't know what God's word says, or we're trying to choose to do something our own way. And those things will keep us out of alignment. If we do not believe that God is sovereign, then we won't trust what he's calling us to do. Therefore, we will be disobedient and out of alignment with God. And then we're just wondering why our life has fallen apart. Like, the favor's gone. Like, y'all, don't sleep on favor. But I'm get off track if I start talking about favor. But with that, we really have to make sure, like, am I submitted under God? Like, am I submitted to his will? Because if not, I will do things out of my own fleshly desires. I will do things out of just what I want to do, not knowing that what I want to do is going to lead me way far astray and out of purpose, out of alignment. And so, yes, that is so good. Alignment and favor. Because favor will have you in a job that you know good and well you don't apply, that you don't qualify
about
for.
It. Talk about it.
Like, yeah.
The thing is, I love favor because favor is literally, it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It just breathes the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing you can do to work for it. It's just something that you have access to, something you're not qualified for, something you don't deserve, something that makes you wonder. And when you share and you testify the stories of the favor that's happened in your life, you'd be like, well, how did this happen? And the other person is like, how did this happen? And that is when the supernatural has the opportunity to make an entry and God's glory can be shown, because it's like nobody can take credit for this, literally.
Yes. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be in those places where no one else can get the glory for it. Because we're humans. And unfortunately, our first instinct is not always to give God the glory like it should be. And so sometimes he gets us into positions to where it's only him. Like, you can't even front like it's somebody else. He's like, right. Who are you going to say it was? Right. It wasn't you. That was me in nursing school. People would be like, oh, congrats, Steph. Like, and I'm like, y'all, it is only by the grace of God that I made it. And man, nursing school was rough. But I look back and it's like, God, he definitely got the glory out of that one, because if it was up to me, I would have been gone. I would have not been a nurse at all. And that's just one of like a billion things. But yes, like the favor of God, like you said, you can't work for it. There's not enough networking you can do. You can go to all the seminars you want, but somebody will still pass you up. Like, it's straight up just a favor of God. And it's not that we do things because we're wanting this favor, or like just because I just want the favor of God. But when we're obedient to God because we just love him and we want to obey him, that favor comes on top. It's a done deal.
It's literally... It's like it's a part of our inheritance. It is. And like you said, like, favor is just like, where in the heck did this come from? Like, how did this, you know? But I definitely agree with that. Like, I can think of countless situations where I was just like, wow, God, this is insane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's him and only him. So, like we said, Esther has 10 chapters. Are there specific verses throughout this chapter, throughout these chapters that really stick out to you?
So you mentioned one at the beginning, for such a time as this.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
like the famous scripture.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, let me see, was that 4:14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I wrote 2:9. I don't even remember what it said. So I'm gonna go look.
Let's look, y'all. Esther 2:9.
I think this is the part it's literally talking about the favor.
Mm-hmm.
Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. He quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. He also assigned her 7 maids specially chosen from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. It's literally what we just talked
favor.
About. Yeah, literally favor. And something else like that I wanted to mention too in regards to favor. Favor not only factors alignment, but favor factors character. And we see that very much so in the story. And I always hear the quote when it comes to like women, oh, you've got beauty and you got brains. But could it be that beauty complemented her character? It was her character by far. Yes, it was that the outer for sure. But you got to think. She was amongst women who were all beautiful.
Right.
Who were all virgins. And for her to stand out so uniquely, like, it just shows that the favor of God was on her. And I just, when I think about this story, I always think of like how strong of her scent it had to be. I'm not talking about the actual scent of these treatments, but like the scent of her character, the scent of her wisdom, the scent of her peace, the scent of her confidence that she had to walk in, the type of preparation that she had to go through to even be able to walk into a space where nobody knew you and they favored you. I mean, really think about that, y'all, to walk in a space where nobody knows you and you're favored. Yeah. I'm not talking about, you know, your mom or your dad sliding your name in for an opportunity. I'm not talking about this person knows this person, even though that is how favor can work. But literally, she just walked into who she was.
Yeah.
And fell into favor.
No, literally. And I love that you brought that up, because obviously there was something about her that stood out aside from, like you say, her beauty. It's like, okay, you got to give me something else, because everybody's beautiful in here. So like, what else you got, sis? And so, yeah, like, man, that's why it's so important for us to have this, we can't just show up with a, you know, I'm pretty. Like, okay, we need something else too, you know? And this is why God develops us and gets us to this point. And so when you show up, yes, like the favor will be there, but God, it's like God knew that she would be bold enough to go and stand before the king one day. Like, he had, that character was already there. That development had already taken place. And so, yes, God wants to bless us and God wants to do amazing things in and through our lives. But let him develop you. Let him work on you so that when he gets you to the palace, like, he can trust you enough to go save the Jews, you know? Like, whatever that looks like for your life. Trust enough that, or be trusted enough by God. Like, so to the point where he's like, yeah, she's pretty. Yeah. I know that's what y'all see, but I'm working on something else with her. So, yep, favor, boom. That's my girl.
Stephanie, you made such a powerful point, and I want to go back to it. You said she had to go through that development to get, you know, for her character to be sustained once she got into that situation where she had to save the Jews. And it made me think about, and God literally just spoke this to me as you were speaking, a lot of us are seeking out husbands. We're looking out for all these different things, but you wouldn't even have the character to continue the same hunger after you get the blessing. And so one of the things I think that we need to be praying for as women is to walk into continuous character development. Even after God blesses you, can you still sustain with the hunger? Are you still willing to put your life on the line? You know, and I believe God allows us to go through such an extensive preparation and development stage because he wants to test that. Will you make an idol out of this? Do you want children so bad and a husband so bad that you're willing to compromise on your values? You're willing to compromise on when your timeline should be? And another reason why I chose this story is because I believe this is a season of, not even just a season, but we are literally living in the age of the bride. And I'm talking about spiritually and naturally, where God is doing crazy things within the church, crazy, amazing things within the church, but he's also doing amazing things with women who have a desire to get married and positioning them. Because it's not just about you fulfilling your sexual desires, being able to post a picture on Instagram, but it's about kingdom assignment. And that's what Esther did. And she understood that.
She understood the assignment.
She understood the assignment.
No, but for real, Kaylin, you are talking, because a lot of us don't want to go through that development stage. You said, are you still going to be there? Are you still going to bless him? Are you still going to seek after him when you get the thing that you prayed for? And this is the part where somebody's going to be like, I want to pause this podcast. I don't want to listen no more. Stay put. I know, my friend.
I've been there, y'all. It's okay.
I know. I was like, she came for me too. It's fine. Okay. No, but like, it's natural to have desires, whatever it is. Maybe you have a husband and maybe you want kids. Maybe you have kids and maybe you want a house. Whatever it is, right? It's natural for us to have these desires, but a lot of times our selfish carnal nature, we will get those things and straight turn around and forget about the God who gave them to us. Like, Esther could have sat up in the palace and like, I'm queen. I don't need to listen to none of y'all anymore. Like, I'm Mordecai who? Like, she could have easily had that attitude about things, but she was still submitted to Mordecai, like you said, but most importantly, submitted to God. And because of that, God used her mightily to save an entire race, entire human race. And so this goes to show us what is God wanting to do in us now that could change things 5-10 years from now? But will we ever see it if we don't make it past this stage? You know, it's like we like, I guess a good imagery for it is like a lot of us, we are like half done butterflies, you know, like we're in the cocoon, like you just a sloppy mess. You got like one wing, but then you gave up. So you just look a hot mess. He can't even take you out in public because the cocoon, you just look bad. Just baby, get back in there. That's what right. we like spiritually. That's what some of us look like. God was like, okay, you said yes to me. You wanted me to work on you. You was crying at the altar. I surrender. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And now he's like, okay, let me make you a butterfly. And you're like, Or maybe you were excited. Like, yeah, butterfly's great. Butterfly is amazing. And then you started spinning in the cocoon and things got messy. Things got mushy. And you were like, hold up. I don't know about this, Lord. I don't know. And he's like, stay with me. I'm trying to make something out of you. I'm trying to do a new thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Like, I'm trying to do something new, but now we're just stuck. We're stuck there because we haven't let God do the full work that he's needing to do. And so, Kaylin, that is such a good point about just like really seeking the Lord after we get the things that we have been praying for and trusting God enough to develop us through that so that we can be the queens to sit in the palace and save the Jews one day. Like, y'all, there's so much work to be done. There really is. Kingdom-wise, there's a lot of work to be done. And we can't just be okay with the bare minimum. I think a lot of us are like, check, went to church. Check, maybe read my Bible. I was kind of distracted because I was on Instagram the whole time. But like, I had the Bible open. That counts for something, right? No, it don't. But anyways, that's not the point. That's not the point. But we're doing the bare minimum. I said yes to Jesus. I invited him in. I repented of my sins. What else? And he's like, baby, I have a whole lifetime worth of stuff. Like, y'all, there's so much work to be done. And for such a time as this, will we let God use us in this time?
And I was thinking about a quote too. My mom always says to me, it's actually quite funny. She says, if you treat God like the side chick, he go give you side chick blessings.
Wait, say it again.
My mom says, if you treat God like a side chick, he's going to give you side chick blessings. And I'm like, no, y'all don't think of that as literal, but it just means like how she's saying, going through that development stage and going through the process, there is so much like attached to it. Not only is it favor and the great things, but it's like people are attached to your obedience as well. Somebody is looking to hear a voice come out of your mouth. You know, somebody is looking to be delivered with God using you as the catalyst for that. So I don't know. I always think about that quote sometimes and it just makes me laugh. And I think another thing is too, for young women out there is, be okay with being different and rare. I think in a society where everything is superficial and it's easy to compare yourself on social media or, you know, you feel like you should have a certain amount of followers or, you know, I haven't launched something yet or, you know, I'm not pretty enough. I see this girl, I follow this influencer. Like, own your difference. And I don't think people know how much your beauty and also your character makes you such a rare breed in society today. And it makes it seem like you ain't really getting no traffic. I call it traffic, y'all. Traffic is like when nobody hitting your line, you know? But really it's because you're so rare, you know? Rare things are only touched by like rare hands. Everybody can't buy diamonds. Everybody can't afford diamonds. But when you walk into that, when you walk in that rarity and you allow God to just be in a place of like content and really just following his lead in terms of the timing of things. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not trying to make it seem like I've done it perfectly. you will see things align for you. I can guarantee you that. Like, this word doesn't return void. It will align for you if you align with the word of God.
Absolutely. And I like what you're encouraging them with. It kind of reminds me of, like, if you walk into a really fancy jewelry store or a diamond store, like, say at the mall, right? Like, everybody's at the mall is popping. But the jewelry stores are, like, the least trafficked stores. Like, there's nobody in there. unless it's, like, Christmas time and everybody's trying to get engaged. But besides that, there's, like, a handful of people, right? But if you go down couple stores to like Forever 21 and H&M, like, it's popping, you know, it's loud. There's people, there's stuff bustling everywhere. And that's just simply because, like, things are a lot more affordable. Things are a lot more common, I guess, at Forever 21 or H&M or something like that. Everybody can't be, you know, buying 24 karat gold. Like, they can't. And yeah. So, yeah, like, if you are the quote unquote, the jewelry store, you could be like, why no one's stopping by me? Like, why nobody this? But the people that need to stop by will stop by, and it'll be the favor that's coming with it. And so, yeah, like, totally be okay with being different. Be okay with standing out, just like Esther did. And she just owned herself. Like, she was herself, and boom, she was different, just like that. And it's kind of boring if we're all the same. Like, if everybody's writing the same book, like, that's lame.
So true.
Like, somebody gotta, I don't know, do something different. Make a movie. Do something. Like, we all can. Right. Yeah, I like that. That's a good point. And I like that you shared those points, because it may not have been like the most obvious things to point out about this story. Like, obviously the more major themes or the obvious themes are God's sovereignty, God's providence over his people, God's hand, God's favor. But I like how you brought up one of the more minor themes, as far as just like, just walking in what God has for you. And here's the thing, like, by the time God invites you to wherever you're invited to, he's already prepared the entire ceremony, the entire program. You think, oh, I just got here by happenstance, but he's had it lined up for since like the beginning of time. So you're the only one caught off guard. He's already known about it. So he's just trying to fill you up to speed now.
So good. That's so good. Another thing that I wrote down as a scripture, I think it fell along lines of the one you had already mentioned. Yours was 4:14, right?
Yeah.
The other one I had put down was 4:16. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I chose that scripture as well, too, because she was a consecrated woman. It goes back to what we've, you know, what we've been saying. Like Esther truly had a hunger. Like, this wasn't for, like, it wasn't a facade. She wasn't trying to, you know, fake it till she make it just to get what she wanted. Like, this was a lifestyle for her. And when you create a lifestyle, even as a single woman, pre-business, pre-children, pre all these things that we look forward to in life as women, when it becomes a lifestyle for you, you're not just waiting to meet something or to encounter something to become that, and you live that. When you walk in that season, it's a supernatural flow that you just, it's like you've been doing it already, you know? You've been trained for this. How did you meet him? He's such a rare man. I'm a rare woman. How did you launch that business? How did you do that? How were you able to do full-time ministry? God was already training me. I was already living a life of consecration. And so it allows you to just walk into a flow. And then that's where I believe there is a grace for things to do, where you would look at some people and you're like, how are they able to do all those things? It's because God has graced them for it. And they've been training for it behind the scenes. And a lot of times we see the fruits of it and we think it just happened overnight, but they've been training for years, a long time behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And that's the part that a lot of us, we ain't trying to do all that just quite yet, but yeah. Those private victories in our lives, a private time with the Lord that a lot of people don't know about. If you're fasting, the Bible talks about that everybody doesn't even need to know that you're fasting. So you're fasting, you and the Lord know. You're praying about a person that people don't even know you're praying for. You're reading all the books, you're studying, you're listening to the podcast, you're planning with the Lord, you're writing out your visions, you're doing all these things behind the scenes. So by the time it happens, they're like, how'd you get here? Just like that throwback song, it's the God in me, Mary, Mary.
Yeah.
And they're like, what they don't know is when she get home.
Get behind closed doors, but
But it's talking about the fact that by the time, like, everybody sees her, she's pulling up, she, you know, writing zeros on all her checks. Like, she's balling, she's making it. She's, you know, she's like the it woman. But the song is saying what they don't know is way behind closed doors, she's already been on her knees. She's been praying. She's been spending time with the Lord. And so all this development is for a reason. So, yeah, I love that you brought that up about verse 16, about that lifestyle. And I just want to encourage us with that nothing that we're doing is in vain, that there's no fast that the Lord doesn't see. There's no tear that falls from our eyes that God doesn't hear. That God doesn't see. There's no cries that he doesn't hear. There's no sacrifices that he doesn't observe. Nothing is wasted with him. And so if you're doing it with the right motive, with the right attitude, trust and believe that it will come back around, that God will show up and you will see, man, like, this was actually for my good. This was doing something in me this whole time.
Oh, Stephanie, that's so good. I mean, that's a message in itself. It's just like, and I think I wrote something along the lines of that. What you just mentioned, your faithfulness is not in vain. And we can even mention not only just Esther, but even Mordecai. The Bible talks about in this story that Mordecai had been doing things for the king behind the scenes that had never been discovered until the king went back and looked in his records. As they say, show me your receipts. So he went and looked at the receipts, and through his faithfulness that he thought, you know, nobody really didn't pay attention to, but it shows Mordecai had character. Like, he had integrity. He was still doing the good things, even though he wasn't getting notoriety. And we could just talk about that. A lot of us, and I think, like you said earlier, naturally as humans, even myself, like, naturally we want our egos to be inflated. We want people to see our posts, to share our stuff, to give to our projects, all of these things. But it's something about when you get into a place and a maturity in God where you don't care. All you care is about, like, truly serving. And I believe it's a consistent state that you have to seek after. Because as you acquire different things, and as you elevate and you mature more in God, you get more things. And so I definitely believe it's a consistent thing that you have to seek out. And it comes with having integrity.
Yeah, for sure. And with that whole understanding that nothing is in vain, and that we're doing things trusting that God, you know, is the one who's seeing it, then we serve with a better attitude too, because we're not worried about, when am I going to get my chance? You know, because Mordecai at any time could have been like, do you know what I did for you? Because what Mordecai was doing was he had actually saved the king from being attacked, and the king didn't even know. The king didn't even know that Mordecai was out here handling business for him. And so Mordecai could have easily went and thrown that in his face at a moment's notice. But he just, like, went for it, trusting that God was like, all right, like, I'm good with him. Mordecai was such a man of God. And so, and we can see that throughout the story too, of like how he didn't want to worship false idols. Like, he didn't want to bow to the king and stuff like that. We can see that he was very dedicated to God and his will. And so with that, though, there's so much that, just like you said, behind the scenes. And that's a humbling thing for us. Humility, everybody, that could be a cuss word to some people. Like, we do not want to be humbled. And because that requires us to put our pride to the side and do stuff without getting recognition and do stuff without the applause and the approval and the likes. And it requires us to do stuff never knowing if anybody will ever say good job for that. Or do you know that such and such did that? But that's why we believe that God has his eye on the sparrow, that he's watching out for us, that, you know, that his, that every, that our hairs are numbered on our head, you know, that like he really sees us, like he's El Roy, the God who sees, like he really, like for real, he sees us. And I want to encourage you with that for those who maybe are serving and you're trying to be faithful, you're trying to stay on the right path, but you feel like you're just being overlooked and hidden. One, you're not alone. There's plenty of people in scripture that have experienced that same thing. And that's, I've been there too. Quite a few of us have been there. We know what it feels like to be overlooked. And but here's the thing, you're only overlooked by man. You're not overlooked by God. And so I want to encourage you to keep going, to stay consistent with what you are doing, what God has called you to, because he is so, so faithful to come through on his word. He's faithful to show up and bless you. And you'll see that favor pop back around. Then people going to be like, how'd she get that? When did that happen? Baby, we've been working on stuff behind the scenes. Right. Yeah.
Really. And even to the point that you may like being overlooked and stuff, this is why you need a Mordecai in your life. This is why you need community. I don't believe you can reach purpose all by yourself. That's why God has made us into a body. We all need each other. So I don't know who that person is for you. Maybe it's a woman in your church. It don't have to be somebody, y'all, with a platform. There's so many people with wisdom who's behind the scenes. And I believe as God brings you into alignment with these people, you're going to see certain things, you know, fall in place for you, just how it did for Esther.
Absolutely. It matters who you're hanging with, who you're rocking with. They will, you know, they will either show up and help you or they're going to drag you down away from what God is wanting you to do. So it's definitely important that we monitor and are wise about who our circle is, because that can change the course of things for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. So you have Veggies for the Brain. This is your baby that you launched. Tell us about what it is, how it got founded, how it started, what you're doing with it.
Okay, so Veggies for the Brain, it actually had a different name originally. I've always like had a passion for like health and like wellness. And I was looking for this different name, and I was just asking God, like, what should the name of this business be? And I wanted something to where it would be a place for secular people to come in. You know, I think sometimes in the church arena and the religious arena, a lot of people or young people that I encounter, they feel that they have to look and appear a certain way to, you know, engage the content or to go to like spiritual events and all these different things, or even how Christ has been represented to them very, you know, not biblical. And so they have this, you know, skewed perception. So I really wanted to launch a business that was very holistic, where you would receive healthy content going in your mind, which is like what I try to write on my blog. And then also I'm sure it's going to expand to a lot of different things, but right now it's just a blog feeding people with encouragement on biblical principles, and then also natural things like taking care of your body. Some stuff you can get delivered from, and then you have to do the actual work, the consistent work of eating right, getting around the right people, getting a therapist, all these different things. And that's what Veggies for the Brain encompasses, is helping people to become whole so they can live out their purpose to its fullest potential.
I love that. And I love that you kind of like bridge the gap between health and faith and biblical things. Like, they don't have to be separated things. The Bible talks about health. The Bible talks about being healthy. And so it doesn't have to be like, oh yeah, healthy people, y'all over there, Jesus people, y'all over there. You know, like, not right. I am that person. I'm both, right?
Right.
More Jesus people need to be healthy. So they y'all need to walk on over to Veggies for the Brain and get you some knowledge, get you some maybe things that you didn't know, some tips, some things to help you mentally, holistically, just like Kaylin said. I think it's very important. We can't just focus on just the mind or just the body or just the soul, right? Like all these things go hand in hand. And so when we can, like a healthy whole body can be so much more efficient for the kingdom. Like, you know, and it's great that you're super spiritually, you know, you're the most spiritually mature in your church, but if you have a heart attack because you're not eating right, who are you gonna serve?
That's true. Yeah. Now, like,
I know people that can pray a house down, but like their health fails them half the time. I'm like, but you can barely walk. Like you're
called to evangelize and you're running out of you're running out of breath.
Yeah.
You know, just to the bathroom. And this is like with my platform, this is why I want to have those transparent conversations that people may be afraid to have, and, you know, bringing professionals in. And I believe in research. I was originally pre-med. So I believe also that science and the Bible can definitely work together. They don't have to be, you know, distant perspectives. They definitely work together. And so I like to bring peer-reviewed research to help people grow in their health.
I love that. And it's a great way to show that ministry can look so much different than just a preacher behind the pulpit, right? Like God has called us to do so much, and we really can not put limits on what he wants us to do. Like if he wants you to be an athlete, be the best Jesus-loving athlete out there. Like for example, there's different people that are, you know, like they're professionals, but they're in the marketplace, right? There's spiritual doctors, like, you know, there's Jesus believing doctors, there's Jesus believing lawyers. Like it doesn't have to be a preacher wearing a robe behind a pulpit. Like there's so much to go and spread the gospel and go and make disciples. There's so many ways to do that. And so I love that. This is one way that
I'm glad you mentioned that. Jesus is the perfect example. He was a carpenter, y'all.
Right.
Like he's a doctor. Like these people had jobs, you know, jobs too in different arenas. Like you said, I believe some people are called to ministry as a whole, but some of you, you know, let this be, maybe it's a confirmation for you that if you are called to the marketplace as well, that's okay. Like you can have an apostolic anointing in politics, in business, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah, I want to go out there and save your lawyer friends and your friends. Because
we need them in the kingdom.
Right, come on in, join us. No, but like I remember when there was people that were trying to tell me that like I didn't need to go to be a nurse and like I needed to go do other stuff, and people always got something to say about your life. That is not the point of this, but just little side note for y'all. And I remember when I was working as a night shift nurse, and in my head, I was looking around at my coworkers and I was like, who's going to reach these people? Like, we're up all night, we're sleeping during the day. Who's going to be the one? Like, I know y'all not going to knock on their door because no, like we're not going to answer because we're sleeping. You know, it's like our schedules are off. So I was like, man, like I know that God has me here for such a purpose. And I was able to pray with people and share the gospel and do these things. And so yeah, like wherever God has you, go off, sis, live your best life.
I love it.
So to kind of wrap things up, last minute advice, what would be something that you would share with someone who is maybe in a tough position where they know that their obedience is maybe leading to something that's just so much bigger than them? Maybe it kind of scares them a little bit. Maybe they're having to take a stand against their family or just something that's kind of put them in a tough position. But they know God is leading them there. What will be some advice that you would give them?
That's a good question. I don't believe God leads you into something without equipping you. And I think a lot of times that our flesh and even like our natural finite minds can kind of get in the way of what God wants to do through our spirit. And so I would just say that, you know, it could be situational for the, you know, for the person, but maybe that means, you know, being vulnerable or transparent with a friend you trust and having them pray with you and walk you through the process, finding scriptures that you decree. Oh my gosh, the power of decrees, continuously speaking it into the atmosphere, allowing the word of God to constantly replay in your mind, and you will see things to begin to shift. And we see that even in the Bible, like how literally words created the world. So the words that you say can create your world. It's all about you speaking the right thing to change your perspective.
I love that you said that about the, like, being equipped. Like, trust that by the time he's asked you to go and do something, he knows who's going to be there, what's going to do. He already knows the full situation, and yet he's still asking you to do it. That means that he's giving you everything that you need. All you have to do is walk in that. Yes, the word of God is so powerful, and that will be your guide. That will be your weapon against the enemy. When you feel like you're not enough, when he's trying to tell you that you're not equipped or that you're not going to make it or you should give up. I'm sure the enemy tried to whisper lies to Esther as she was going before the king. Like, no, you don't need to do that. Don't worry about that. He's not going to want to talk to you. You're not going to be able to save your people. They're all going to die. Like, who knows what kind of lies he was telling Esther, but she moved all that out the way. She said, we're going to have a fast. We're going to pray. And I'm going there and we're going to talk to the king. And she handled business and God showed up and gave her favor. So I love that advice, y'all. Whatever he's called you to, he's already equipped you. Don't worry about who else got something to say, or if they're saying that you're not, you know, you're not good enough, or you're not going to be the one to fix it or help them. Whatever it is, trust that God is in control. He knows exactly what to say, what to do, how to fix the situation. All he needs is you to be in position. And just like Kaylin said, going all the way back, when you're in position, when you're in alignment, that favor comes next every time. Every time.
And I'm glad too, you mentioned the point of, like, you know, you are going to have those emotions. But when you're living a life of consecration, your spirit's going to go before you, and then your feelings can catch up later. Because naturally, our feelings are going to be like, oh, should you do this? This might cause strife. This might, oh, are you ready for this? You're not really securing yourself. You got to speak to those feelings. They're going to be there. They're always going to be there. Anything that you're doing for God, they're going to come and try to bombard you. Because I don't want to make it seem like it's just a cakewalk. Sometimes it is hard seasons. I've had hard seasons. I'm sure Stephanie too has had hard seasons. But it's not letting those feelings to control you.
Yeah, because God is still needing you to do whatever he's called you to do. The feelings, they're fickle. They will lie to you. You can feel your way right out of obedience. Like, do not let these feelings have you out here determining your whole life's decisions, your actions. No, ma'am. I always tell people, oh, I'm scared. Okay, do it scared. Like, you still have to do it. Like, I was terrified to leave my career. I was terrified to even just go and have that conversation with my boss. I was terrified to leave my childhood church and go to a new place. Like, there were so many things that God called me away from and God called me to do. And there was obviously a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings involved. Absolutely. But I had no choice. Like, I had to do what God told me. Well, I had a choice, but I told myself, Steph, you don't got a choice. Like, you got to go do what God is telling you to do. And you will have those feelings and emotions. Those are natural. They're not sinful. Like, they won't be the problem. But you still have to do what God is calling you to do. And like Kayla said, girl, your feelings will catch up. Tell them I'll meet you later. We can come back and have this conversation. But right now, I got to go be obedient. Bye.
Right.
I love that. So I know that y'all really enjoyed this conversation with Kaylin. Kaylin, you brought some amazing points to the conversation. How can people connect with you? How can they find Veggies for the Brain? All the things.
So you can go subscribe to the blog at veggiesforthebrain.com, or you can go to my Instagram, Kaylin_Hunt. I would love for you to be a part of the community. We're just here to have fun. Live how Jesus would live, or at least, you know, try. But yeah, just come, and I would love to have you be a part of my life, and I would even love to be a part of your life and hear what's going on in y'all's life. I answer my DMs and my messages and all of that. I would love to hear what's going on in your life. So come check me out.
Yeah, y'all make sure to, all the links and stuff will be in the notes. I would love for y'all to come and connect with her. If you also are vegetarian or you're just really involved with your health, make sure you check out Veggies for the Brain. Some great resources and stuff there for you. So I would love for y'all to connect with her. And if y'all haven't already, make sure y'all pull up on Christian Girls Pop too. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can find us on our website at ChristianGirlsPop.com and on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. And if you haven't already, make sure you get your copy of our ebook, Scripture Made Simple. It's a way to go through the Bible in a year with notes, resources, challenges, and so much more to help you to understand Scripture and realize it's a lot more simple than you think. So I want y'all to check all that out. All the links are in the notes. So make sure that you take some time and click, 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 and do all the things and follow all the things. We love to connect with y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to this week's episode. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.